The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. But you don't understand.
Because I'm a genius.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
It's getting weird!
And here we go.
It's the Riffs and Rants podcast with your host, Johnny Teflon.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Establishment. And we'll be right back after the first gem of the day. Gang, welcome one and all to another episode of the Riffs and Rants podcast right here on Big Boom Radio. As usual, it's Johnny Teflon, man in the mic, talking about things that we're all talking about. Simple as that, right? We open tonight with one of my favorite tunes from the 70s, Ride Captain Ride by Blues Image, and that came out in 1970 off of their album Open. It actually rose to number 4 on the U.S. charts, a popular tune. You've probably seen it in some movies. I think it was in Anchorman, as a matter of fact. But sometimes it'll pop up in, you know, commercials and things like that. Basic gist of the song, as the legend goes, 73 men set sail out of San Francisco Bay, and they were sailing to some place that they thought was better than where they were. And they were inviting everybody to come along with them, but everybody on the shore was kind of like, nah, we're all set. So these guys set sail, and you never saw them again. So I hope they found what they were looking for.
And then our children will form a family band, and we will tour the countryside, and you won't be invited!
Not totally in line with what we're going to open up with tonight.
Who here likes a good story about a bridge?
But, yeah, we're not going to be all dour and overly serious on this episode. Not that it isn't serious stuff we're talking about, but you know what? Let's get back to the roots of just having discussions, you know? Airing it out, not immediately vilifying anybody. But, yeah, there's always time for that. So, look, big story in the news, obviously, is the accident in Baltimore Harbor, where the cargo container ship lost power, apparently, and inadvertently sailed right into, under minimal power, sailed into one of the pylons supporting the Francis Scott Key Bridge spanning the Baltimore Harbor there. Where do you start? Like any one of these stories. A video had come out shortly after the accident, and you could see through time-lapse photography where the ship apparently lost power twice. Then there was a plume of smoke coming from the back of the ship. So everything points to a catastrophic power failure, which happens. And, you know, at the position they were in and what they were doing, trying to exit the harbor under their own power without the assistance of tugboats and the like, they just could not correct course fast enough, slam into the pylon under the bridge. And, you know, look, boats and planes, neither one of them has brakes, okay? So there's always some form of perpetual motion going on, unless you're thrusting in the opposite direction. So again, you got no power, you can't do that. The thing is, no one's 1,000% convinced that this is exactly what happens. And no, we're not going to entertain any loony conspiracy theories here. We have enough of that. But, you know, in speaking to some friends of mine who were very much in the know about this, having served in Merchant Marine and graduated the Merchant Marine Academy, offered their opinion on this and the fact that it could be something as mundane to the layman as the fuel in the ship and contaminants, sediment, whatnot, that would cause the engines to fail and kind of put them in the same situation. And this does happen as large ships are leaving their moorings. It does happen out on the open sea. Because I had said to this friend of mine, you know, what happens in the event of a catastrophic power failure? Surely on a vessel this size, just like giant cargo airplanes, you would think that there would be redundancies out the gazoo, okay? But my point of reference, again, just being a layman, would be back towards, let's say, submarines and say the World War II era. The pre-nuclear submarine fleet would be equipped with batteries for backup power for short term, diesel engines when they needed them, you know, regular gasoline engines in some cases. And it's just, you have redundancies just in case, and you plan for the worst. And that's because, yeah, these are vessels of war, so they want to be as well equipped as possible to complete the mission under any circumstances, right? But this is the same, you know, kind of deal with these giant behemoth, thousands and thousands of tons of cargo sitting on their deck. And these things, it's like the length of 3 football fields. There's no redundancy. I mean, what happens if you have a catastrophic loss of power? maybe this is something that we'll start to see in the news. And maybe it's just a case of it should have been built better. But that's the ship. Let's focus more on the bridge, okay? Now, any first-year engineering student will tell you, you know, bridges aren't meant to absorb any type of impact from the side. It's not how bridges work, okay? The true test of a bridge is how much weight you could put for an extended period of time dead center on it, okay, and have it still stay standing, okay? That's engineering, mechanical drawing 101. That's just how it is.
Benefits of a classical education.
So just the little bit of research I started doing, I was shocked and amazed to see that there was a similar incident back in 1980 in Tampa Bay, where a, you know, smaller but giant vessel, same thing, lost power and hit in the middle of a squall that kicked up out of nowhere, hit one of the pylons and the bridge there in Tampa Bay, causing the deaths of 35 people. Like I said, we're not having a funny, jokey topic tonight because, you know, people's lives are at risk here. And, oh my goodness, could you imagine what would have happened in Baltimore had this been rush hour? I'll just leave that there, let you think about it. But after this collision in Tampa Bay and this loss of life, they came up with legislation, and I'm not sure if it's just for Florida or if it was a nationwide movement, where the pylons of these bridges were to be surrounded by a large area of reinforced concrete and, in many instances, smaller posts of concrete to kind of deafen the blow if a large vessel was out of control and careening towards it. So between the deflecting pylons driven into the base of the harbor floor, and then that perimeter of reinforced concrete, it would, if not prevent, greatly, greatly lessen the damage and hopefully prevent what we just had happen. Now, this occurred in 1980, okay? I believe the Francis Scott Key Bridge was a little older than that, but I'm not positive. So you would have to then ask yourself, well, why wasn't this done? Or, hell, if they built it 10 years ago, why weren't these safety measures taken into account? Baltimore is a very, very busy port. It makes you wonder how we haven't seen more instances like this with these catastrophic power failures or squalls that whip up and make it impossible to traverse those narrow straits as they are. But, like I said, if they came out with legislation and a plan to prevent this from happening, how did it still happen? I don't know. I don't have any answers. I just want to have that conversation of why wasn't this prevented, you know? Someone always said to me, one of my quote-unquote mentors, if you can predict it, you can prevent it. And that's true, right? What's that? An ounce of prevention equals a pound of cure? Same thing. There are so many facets of this country's infrastructure, whether you're looking at the airports, the rail systems, and now our seaports, whether it be a security aspect or just their ability to operate at peak efficiency and not have 20 to 30 giant cargo vessels from around the world, looking at you, LA, that are sitting there because you can't get the products onto the dock and disseminated to the next phase of their journey quick enough. It's 2023. We're the United States of America. I mean, never mind the superhighway system that's been around since the mid-40s and 50s. Never mind how much work that needs. Never mind the countless overpasses and, yes, bridges that are in desperate need of standard maintenance. Went home to visit the family in Jersey over the Easter holiday. And, as always, I'm scooting over the George Washington Bridge. And you take the GW and you just kind of look around and you're like, man, they need to spend some work on this. And it does seem like they're always doing something, but yet nothing ever gets done. You know what I'm talking about? We've all got those certain construction projects in our cities and towns that never seem to get completed. Yeah, that. And for somebody who knows that you got to pay now $18 just to go over that bridge heading into New York, that's a lot of money. I mean, they did away with the toll collectors. So what are they spending all the money on? Apparently not standard maintenance, or at least I hope they are, and maybe I just don't see it. I don't know. But another way to look at it, and again, not looking to vilify anybody per se. However, Mayor Pete. Yeah, America's Mayor Pete, who's now the Secretary of Transportation in the Biden administration. What the hell does he do? Because, I don't know, it just seems to me like over the past 4 years, everything is breaking down at an alarming rate. Now, gee, Johnny, what's breaking down? Well, I'll tell you. You had the train derailment spewing a giant toxic cloud into the air over there in East Palestine, right? Took our president a year to go scope it out. That happened under Mayor Pete's watch. You had this incident with the bridge under Mayor Pete's watch. You got doors flying off of Boeing airplanes on Mayor Pete's watch, okay? You had the tanker that caught fire that took out that whole section of the road over in L.A., I believe it was. You know, that happened under Mayor Pete's watch. It's like, what the hell? And again, we've been talking about investing in infrastructure forever. That aspect of it, friends, is purely bipartisan. We heard it from George W. Bush. We heard it from Mr. Obama. We heard it from Mr. Biden. We heard it from Mr. Trump. All this money is supposed to go into infrastructure. Really? Because, damn, travel around this country and a lot of the airports, just like you read about, are almost third world standards. I mean, come on. You know, our entire airline industry has constantly got to get propped up the first time the wind blows south. And they're talking about bankruptcy and bailouts. Doesn't that make you feel kind of, I don't know, skittish when you get on a plane? I know it does to me, because I'm sitting there on the aisle looking down the aisle, and you can tell where the airline has bolted in a whole new row of seats. Gee, wow, maybe that's why the costs are then passed on to us if we're trying to check more than one bag, because the cost of fuel's gone up and the planes need more fuel now to complete their assigned trips, because the planes weigh so much. Or how many of you have been on a plane where it's too heavy because of the luggage, right? And then they start calling for volunteers to, you know, graciously maybe take a later flight, and they'll cut a little money off the ticket like they're doing something for you. I've been on those as well, okay? There's just so much wrong with the anthill. The ants are all going in different directions. And it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things that just needs a paradigm shift. And I don't think it's going to get substantially better with a different party in office. I really don't. It's something that people need to make a conscious effort to improve. So how about we worry about stuff like that? Something that will truly, truly benefit the next generation and the growth of this country, okay? And put aside the old tropes, such as debating back and forth about abortion. Time to give that up. Maybe let's stop arguing and having the fist slamming on the podium, spotting racism in every corner of this country and blaming it for all of our ills. Maybe it's time to put that torch down. You know, infrastructure is something that can positively affect everyone in the obvious ways, as we travel these highways and byways across the nation, or we take a flight that now suddenly becomes economical and or a hell of a lot safer, Or maybe once again, the rail system in this country can jump to the forefront and be a pleasant, affordable alternative like it used to be back in the day. I tell you, gang, last train trip I took up and down the East Coast, damn it, if that train didn't stop in the worst area of every single city on the way. Now, I don't expect the train yards to have, you know, planters of tulips and whatnot, okay? But, yeah, if you ever get a chance, just do that. And I'm not talking about taking the B train in Philly or, you know, the L train someplace else or taking the New York subway. I'm talking about regular rail travel from point A to point B, and just look around at where the trains stop. Look at the condition of the railway entrances and exits to the city. You know, I went into Philly on a train, and as you're going through these big arcs about to head into the terminal, there it is, all graffitied out. Welcome to Gorilladelphia. I said to myself, yep, City of Brotherly Love has not changed one bit. I don't know. I know it's a lot, but it's a lot of talking that needs to get done, and there's a lot of room for compromise. It can create jobs. Like I said, it increases safety. It beautifies the country. It's a win-win-win. And in terms of labor, regular people could do it. You know, a lot of it is light construction. There's all different facets from like light construction to city planning. There's so many jobs involved, and there's so much the everyman can do. Whether you're regular, you know, contract labor or you're a union, it doesn't matter. So much opportunity. Put people to work. Put people truly to work. Create actual jobs that will stand up to a stat that says this was a job that was created, not an old COVID job that's finally been replaced, and tell everybody that's growth. All right? Yeah, we're on to that. And again, doesn't matter what party's in office. The whole job creation thing, folks, it's a scam, all right? We still got people that have fallen off the dole from the recession of 2008 that haven't even gone back to work. They just gave up. So, hey, let's call it what it is. So, that's Johnny's Two Cents. Talk amongst yourselves. As always, I would love to hear your input on it. Drop me an email. It's just plain old John at bigboomradio.com. Maybe there's something I missed. Maybe there's something I'm not aware of. I don't know. Maybe you're just a troll that needs to lash out. Just go right ahead. So this is going to take us to the middle gem of the day. And it's so apt. It's so apt. And somebody would say, well, Johnny, I got to say you went for the low-hanging fruit on this one. And maybe I did, because our middle gem today is the classic breakout hit of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Under the Bridge. We're going to play that for you now. We'll be right back with our second topic and plenty more things and stuff. I did that day. Yep, like I said, breakout hit for the Red Hots, and that was off of Blood Sugar Sex Magic way back 1991, right? Damn, if that doesn't classify as classic rock now. And that was one of the songs that just, you know, it stood up on its own merits, but maybe because it was put out in the burgeoning era of grunge, everybody had to dissect the lyrics, the really pretty lyrics, as a matter of fact, every which way to Sunday, right? And Anthony Kiedis, lead singer of the Chili Peppers, really initially did not even want to release it because it was very personal to him and very, very somber, very sad lyrics, basically about, you know, alienation that he felt as a recovering drug addict, and the love he had for his city and the way he felt it was just looking out for him against the temptations to lapse back into that lifestyle. However, there are other people that say he did it as an ode to one of his former loves who, you know, he kind of pushed away with this same lifestyle. Other people will tell you it's a story about a guy who got bit by a vampire and became a vampire. So you just don't know. Now, it's just typical L.A. overanalyzing, whatever. Either way, it's a good song. And like I said, low-hanging fruit, because it's one of the really few good songs with bridges in it. So there you go. Sometimes I'm that basic. All right, heading to our subtopic for today. Another big outcry in the news as of late, which really, as a rational thinking man, at least 5 days out of the week, I just couldn't believe the uproar over this when NBC Universal hired former RNC chairwoman Rhona McDaniel to a role on their news networks as a commentator. Just another political pundit, okay? The outcry from the, I'm not even going to say newscasters, and I'm certainly not going to say journalists, the news readers on the various NBC outlets, whether it be Nightly News, MSNBC, CNBC, they're just like, harumph, harumph, we refuse to work with this person.
We must do something about this immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph.
Because she represents everything that we're against. Period. Okay? Wow. Where do you start? You know, we've commented several times over the years on this podcast about how news is no longer news. It's opinion. It's entertainment. Okay? And in full disclosure, you know, everybody knows I'm a conservative, so obviously I watch Fox News. I will occasionally visit CNN.com for their take on current events. And I know that Fox is far right. I feel personally they inject way too much religion into things. So there's evil on all sides, okay? They're all committing the same sins. It's yellow journalism and its finest, and it's not news. It's everybody just reading stories, trying to entertain and or push the buttons of their selected audiences so that they'll keep watching, and how their viewing will bleed into every commercial break and then maybe buy whatever products they're shilling on those networks. That's the formula, folks. And of course, if it bleeds, it leads.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So here's everybody all up in arms. Oh my God, how could you? How could you bring this veritable antichrist onto our network? Oh my goodness, cats and dogs living together. You know, my thing is, like I said, I enjoy watching Fox, and I enjoy watching The Five on Fox. It's on 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And they've got a mixed panel where it's generally four conservative voices and a rotating chair of someone with more of a liberal slant. And there are other shows, such as The View.
Trash.
That try and replicate that formula because, look, on paper, it sounds fantastic. Oh, of course we want to hear what the other side has to say. That just makes perfect sense. And yeah, it's great when people converse and talk, because that's how you reach both understanding and compromise. Or at least we would like to think so. However, it's easier said than done. So on The View, there's this lady, Anna Navarro, who's supposedly conservative, who I've never heard say a positive thing about any Republican ever, okay? And then on The Five, they used to have a gentleman, I'm going to forget his name now. I hate when I forget names. This is my stock in trade. Well, they've had this rotating collection of liberal voices, let's say. And some are better than others in so much as a level of respect that the other rotating four conservatives have for them. So when former Congressman Ford gets up on there, Harold Ford Jr., I love listening to him because he is so reasonable and pragmatic. And he will disagree with the conservative voices, but they never shout him down. They never exhibit any form of vitriol to him because of his views. And he's speaking up and supporting policies from Democratic presidents, because when there's a screw up, he'll call him on it. And I just love that because it leads to such an engaging conversation. There's another young lady on there. And like I said, I guess the names don't even matter because we're not looking to vilify anybody here. But, you know, she just... Juan Williams. That's who I was thinking of. You know, and they're going to say their liberal standpoint and try and make a case for it. But it's no different than Bill Maher having on a staunch conservative voice from the Senate or Congress. He's going to brutalize them. And you know what you're getting into when you go on these shows. You're going to get shouted down. They're going to make snarky comments. But in its purest form, that format where you hear from different points of view, folks, it's not just entertaining. It's how things get done. It's as simple as that. You know, many years ago, it wasn't automatic that your president would have a vice president of their same party. Or if it wasn't even someone that they preferred, the vice president was elected by the vote tally as well. And it just seems to me that a heck of a lot more used to get done. Now it's like everybody's trying to win the side. You know, I want my administration in lockstep. I want Congress. I want both houses. You know, I want a Supreme Court that's going to agree with me. And yet it kind of seems like shit still never gets done. So that's obviously not the solution. Not to mention, it's a pipe dream and it's dangerous. Because honestly, folks, I don't want to see either party as they are now in complete control of anything. No, 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 no. You might as well elect some fascist jackass to run the whole show, because essentially that's what you're getting when everybody's in lockstep with one particular set of ideals. That's not America. We don't want that, okay? But they couldn't do enough to get rid of Rona McDaniel. And you know what the worst part is? NBC Universal caved. They caved in because these news readers were making such a stink, okay? I'm looking at you, Joe Scarborough. I'm looking at you, what's the other one? I call it a lesbian Batman. Wow, I am losing all my names tonight, aren't I? Rachel Maddow. Yes, that's, okay, that was her. Somebody's got to put these people in their place. It's no worse than the NBA right now, how the players are dictating who's going to coach them, okay? This is your on-air talent. They get up, they read stuff off a teleprompter. They're not writing their own stories. There's a cadre of writers bigger than the Tonight Show, okay, coming up with this material for these newscasters, which is even worse than the material they're coming up on late-night TV. It's all crap. And it's sad that you could watch one episode of, let's say, you know, Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, okay, and then go over to the Nightly News with Brett Baier, and you're watching two completely different newscasts because they have that agenda. I lament. I miss the newscasts of my youth that, you know, you would have three channels, CBS, NBC, and ABC, okay? You had a local version, and then you went to the nighttime version. All the local newscasts were pretty much the same. It was dry. It was boring. It gave you the news. They talked about weather and what the local teams did that night. Then you turn on to the national news, and it was the same national news stories on every single channel. And the stories were all the same because there was reporters, boots on the ground, there while this shit is happening. And oh, you know what they're doing? They're taking notes. They're interviewing the same people. They're taking notes. So essentially, all the reporting is the same. Some had more facts than others because, look, they're better reporters. And some of them are better writers. But the stories were all the same. Not picking and choosing, oh, let's watch this because I feel like throwing my shoe at the TV. Or, you know, let's go with the gentle newscast because I don't feel like being upset tonight. I want someone to tell me everything is just fantastic. It doesn't work that way. But it's kind of like how it works now. You know, you're choosing your newscast. You're choosing your reality like you're choosing your haircut. There's just something innately wrong with that. Where is the truth?
Message!
Sometimes you could turn into BBC, right? Brits don't care because they don't think they're the center of the universe like we do. Sad but true. So you turn on the BBC, or if you got really good cable, maybe you can turn on like the Associated Press or Reuters, right? Out of the Netherlands. They'll give you a straight scoop on something. But our news, whether it's Fox or NBC or CNN, no, you're not going to get a straight answer. And it's just sad and it's terrible. But I wanted to single out this instance because it's just these news organizations categorically eliminating any viewpoints that run opposite to their own narrative. And even, like I said, Bill Maher even said it on his show. It's like two gangs in a prison yard. Nobody is talking to each other. And how does anything get better or resolved or help us to unite as a nation if nobody's talking? Come on, I can't be the only one that sees this. I'm just some scrub out on the East Coast, right? I got my degree, but I'm sure as hell I'm not a poli-sci major, but I see this stuff going on, and it's never going to change until people take to the voting booth and force change. And sadly, no. Electing two geriatrics that are so set in their ways, they refuse to give the other side credit for anything good that they might do because they don't like the optics of it? Come on. Come on, folks. We can do better than this. I don't know. Maybe we can't. Maybe we don't deserve better, you know? And all this is for naught. I don't know, but that's kind of a dour view. So anyway, just think about it. Think about it. And next time you're watching something, say to yourself, do all these people have the exact same message they're trying to give me by hook or by crook? Or is there some room for independent thought? Just think about it. That's all. All right, let's jump right into the third gem of the day on a fun, whimsical note. This is a little ditty by Real Big Fish called I Know You Too Well to Love You Anymore. All right, let's play this and we'll be back with some more things and a wrap-up. Stay tuned.
I know you too well to like you anymore. I know you too well to like you anymore.
There's a nightmare where my dream girl was,
but this charming is a bore.
And I know you too well,
and I don't like you anymore.
We always were grinning, we didn't even know we were smiling for.
We can hold hands and then break dance or rap like Dr. Dre.
And side by side, we drink all night, disgusting all our friends with our PDA.
You felt so good deep in my heart, and that's for sure.
But now I feel sick when I'm around you.
It hurts my head to think of how I know you too well to like you anymore. I know you too well to like you anymore.
I'm stuck with someone I can't. stand.
I can't stand you even more.
And I know you too well.
I don't like you anymore.
Such a tight leash that I'm starting to strangle myself.
You criticize, I know that I'll never be what you want me to be.
Well, you used to be such a soft for sore eyes, but now looking at you is like a knife in me.
Your heart is filled with daggers,
the kiss is like razor blades.
You'd rather stroke that champagne bottle,
I'll toss you a hand grenade.
I know you too well to like you anymore. I know you too well to like you anymore.
You're mean, you're
well, you're an attention whore.
And I know you too well.
I don't like you, but I love you.
Please stay.
No one makes me more miserable, so please don't go away. Cause I need you always.
I'll never be able to forget you.
I wish that I had never met you. Yeah, yeah.
Strange.
You're always coiled back, ready to attack. Your lips curled over your vampire face.
They say be careful what you wish for, just might come your way.
Well, I dreamed about you, baby, but now I'm dreaming of my escape.
I knew you were a bad idea, but I had to have you anyway.
Now of all my worst mistakes, this one is here to stay.
You're a son of a bitch, you know that?
I know you too well to like you anymore. I know you too well to like you anymore.
There's a nightmare where my dream girl was.
But Prince Charming is a bore.
And I know you too well.
I don't like you.
I know you too well to like you anymore. I know you too well to like you anymore.
I'm stuck with someone I can't stand.
I can't stand you even more.
Well,
I don't like you.
You're a slut.
You're a dick.
You're a whore.
You're a prick.
You make me fucking sick.
You've got no tips.
Well, you're a needle dick.
I'm so sick of your shit.
Well, you're a hag.
And you're a drag.
You drive me fucking mad.
Well, I wish you go to hell. But I love you. Oh, well.
Like I said, little upbeat, little peppy, little real big fish. Always a good time. And as you know, Johnny loves him some ska, as evidenced by one of our shows on Big Boom Radio, Saturday Night Ska, every Saturday at 8 p.m. So, again, real big fish. I know you too well to love you anymore. That came off of their album, Candy Coated Fury, from back in 2012. And surprisingly, even amongst their own albums, that one did not do well. Now, fans didn't like it, critics didn't like it. When I heard it, I was like, this, you know, it's not terrible, but I like that song in particular because it's just fun. And you can check it out online as an animated video somebody made for it. Just, I don't know, good stuff. I mean, how, I don't know what kind of poetry they're looking for in a ska song.
Jog on.
Upbeat and horns, and what do you want to talk about? The existentialism of life, the unbearable lightness of being. I don't know what you're looking for, but yeah, whatever. I think it's a fun tune. I'll drink to it. Right? Right. So, moving forward, we recently brought back to the station one of our original shows, the Friday Hot Lunch, and that airs every Friday at noon. With a rotating theme, if you will, every Friday for a solid hour. Just a nice time to get you through that magic hour, that lunchtime on Friday. Because that's like a whole lot of weekend eve right there. And generally, I mean, I can't speak for everybody. But once I come back from lunch on a Friday, it's like, all right, let's just finish up strong and get started on some fun or some stuff or the honey do list or whatever. But yeah, you're pretty much off at that point. So I thought it was important to have a show for that time frame. And let's see what else we got. We've got another new episode of the Classic Rock Showcase, this time featuring Hall & Oates, which, again, doesn't fit into the cookie cutter that most people would use as a perimeter for the genre of classic rock. But it's a big genre, and it's spanning a lot of years and a lot of styles. And, yeah, Hall & Oates, they're rock and roll. Well, a little soul thrown in there, something you could dance to, but hey, they're rock and roll. So they're in, as well as, wow, 160 other episodes of the Classic Rock Showcase. Check that out. It's always a good time. Airs Monday through Friday with a play at 11 and a replay at 5 p.m. And that's what's up with that.
Goddamn right.
Huh. We have a new episode of the Rockabilly Rumble, our centerpiece in the BigBoomRadio.com show pantheon. New episode, yeah, we're calling it Ladies Night, celebrating the contributions of women to the rockabilly and rock and roll genres. Overdue and so easy to do. That's the formula I like. Right? Right. So, just a quickie reminder, this podcast, damn it, if you can't find it everywhere, and I'm talking Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, the podcast app on Apple products.
We're bigger than U.S. Steel.
And it's important you know where to find it because, sadly, Google is doing away with their podcast app, if you will, and they're having everybody migrate over to YouTube Music. So how that affects us, it'll prompt you at some point to say, would you like to migrate any podcast you had subscribed to via the podcast app and just send them on over so it's waiting for you at YouTube Music. Now, keep in mind, YouTube Music is free, just like regular YouTube, you know, when you go look at little snippets and videos and whatnot. So it's not going to cost you anything. It's just a little different way to look at stuff, but I got to say, my preferred venue to listen to any podcast has always been the podcast app directly off of Google. So it's going to take some adjustment. And I don't know which one I'm going to use. I kind of like the iHeartRadio format the way it is. But again, there's so many out there. You've even got, you know, Audible through Amazon. You can listen to there. Of course, it's always on iTunes. You know, that for many people is probably the most convenient way to subscribe and then just automatically download it. I don't care as long as you listen. I really, yeah, as of right now, I have no favorite, and we'll just see how it goes. But I'm expecting to look at the stats from the hosting sites and see a little dippity do. And I'm trying not to have my feelings hurt. So I hope you guys still seek us out and listen. Probably the next podcast we do is once again going to feature the talents of Andy B. and John James, my two partners in crime.
Morons.
And again, keeping it light, keeping it fun as we move throughout this, what's sure to be a challenging year, this election on the horizon. I tell you, folks, any form of entertainment we can get that gets our minds off this crap is worth a shot, and I'll do my best to do right by you. So I'll tell you what, thank you for tuning in. This our episode number 169. Woof. Nice. All right. And I'm Johnny Teflon, and I will see you on the flip side.
I'll scare them real bad. The point is, folks, I'm going to do anything to get your business. Hell, I'll possess myself if I gotta. Whoa. Yo, I got demons running all through me. All through me. Come on down here and see it. And hey, be back now. You get a free demon possession with every exorcism. Now, you can't beat that, can you? Now, bring a little parts down here. Hell, we got plenty of snakes and lizards for them to play with. There's no problem with that at all. So, say it once, say it twice, third time's a charm, and remember, I'll eat anything you want me to eat. I'll swallow anything you want me to swallow. Come on down now. Chew on a dog. Oh!